Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiribadu Hari Gopi Jana Malabha Kiribadu Hari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiribadu Hari Gopi Jana Malabha Kiribadu Hari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravindacharya Horstu Teta Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Pila Thakur Kijai Prem Se Gaho Shukrishna Chaitanya Parabha Nityananda Shivaita Gadata Shivasri Gaur Bhakti Kanda Kijai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikumata Sayam Kunda Ratta Kunda Kiri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannathaswami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. So Om Aganat Mirandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're going to continue with our study of the Bhagavad Gita, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. So we are on the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called Sankhya Yoga, which primarily deals with Ashtanga Yoga. So somehow or other it's called Sankhya Yoga. So we're going to continue with verse 25 on the sixth chapter, or in the sixth chapter. And let us share the screen so you can see it. There we go. All right. So we will start. Hmm. Shanai Shanar Uparamed Budya Dritti Grihitya Atma Samstamana Kutva Nakinchirapi Chintayet. Shanahai, gradually, Shanahai, step by step, Uparamet. One should hold back Budya by intelligence, Dritti Grihitya, carried by conviction, Atma Samstam, placed in transcendence, manaha, mind, kritva, making, na, not, kinchit, anything else, api, even, chintayet, should think of. So translation, gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. So, several words here that need to be explained. Intelligence, of course, trance, for a bhakti yogi, trance means being absorbed in serving Krishna, whatever Krishna wants. But for a bhakti yogi, stanga yoga means trance, meditating on the super soul, the paramatma. And so by the means of intelligence sustained by full conviction, we need to unpack that one. Conviction means full faith, completely convinced, which is the same thing, same root as conviction. Full conviction means having no doubts. It's a negative definition of it. And when you have no doubts about something, and you understand that thing will give you the highest goal, the highest pleasure, you do it. If someone has doubts, they're thinking, well, maybe it won't work for me. Or maybe it's not true, something like that. And of course, Krishna says, for the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this life nor in the next. So having that full conviction, then you fix your intelligence. Your intelligence is your objective. The mind, on the other hand, we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. The mind is something just like accepting and rejecting things about how you feel right now. Would you like to eat? Nah, I don't feel like eating. Would you like to go swimming? Nah, I don't feel like going swimming. Would you like to wake up from Mangalarti? Nah, I don't feel like it this morning. That's the mind. And sometimes the mind says, yeah, I feel like it. Other times, I don't feel like it. So that's accepting and rejecting. But intelligence means I know my goal. And whatever that mind says, I am going to ignore it. That's what I mean. So full conviction, you're convinced about your goal, and the mind is saying this and that, I am tired, whatever. You know, the mind can tell you so many things. Just like right now, you know, we're trapped here because of the coronavirus. I was going to share a background with you that I've been using sometimes for these Zoom conferences that shows me in a jail cell. So you begin to think about it. Oh, I'm trapped. I'm really trapped. I'm completely trapped. You know, that's obsession. You know, there's two things, obsession and compulsion. So compulsion may be good when you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You may get diagnosed as having obsessive compulsive behavior. But anyway, but we get obsessed with something. You know, the thought comes to our mind, I can't stand it. I really can't stand it. I can't stand being locked up. Can't stand wearing a mask. But when you don't let that thought circulate in your mind, it's not so bad at that point. So that intelligence, you know, you have to wear a mask because if you want to have a reasonable certainty of not passing on your disease to others, or maybe have some certainty of not catching it from others, it's a good idea, even though it's really difficult. Not just wearing a mask, but so many things, you know, waking up in the morning, things like that. And thus, by doing that, continuing this verse, the mind should be fixed on the self alone. So the self refers to who we are in relationship to Krishna. Because if you don't know who you are in relationship to Krishna, you don't know who you are. Like in this world, if you don't know who your mother or father is, in many countries, if you sign a contract, you have to put down your mother's name and your father's name. I mean, for example, in Fiji, I had to be in part of certain corporations, they call it constitution there, and I had to put my mother's name and my father's name, well, actually my father's name down. So if I didn't, if I said, I don't know who my father is, well, maybe someone who don't, some people don't know who their father is, and should think of nothing else other than serving Krishna. And this is one of the surrendering principles, having no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. And then Prabhupada will explain in his purport. By proper conviction and intelligence, one should gradually cease sense activities. And of course, this is referring to the Ashtanga Yoga system. This is called Pratyahara. You pull it back. You pull back your concentration on your senses. No tongue, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no touch. And pull it back from the mind, too. The mind being controlled by conviction, meditation, and cessation from the senses should be situated in trance or samadhi. At that time, there's no longer any danger of becoming engaged in material conception of life. In other words, although one is involved with matter as long as one is the material body exists, one should not think about sense grayed. One should think of no pleasure aside from the pleasure of the Supreme Self. So here, Prabhupada is sort of mixing bhakti yoga with ashtanga yoga. Because the goal of both is exactly the same. Whereas in bhakti yoga, the goal and the process is the same. In ashtanga yoga, the process and the goal are different. When you have the end and the means, that's another way of saying the goal and the process. And when the goal and the process, or the end and the means, are exactly the same, you've got bhakti yoga. And when you're doing other yoga systems, the process is definitely different from the end. You know, makes sense. So better to do something you're going to continue doing. Because in the Goloka Vrindavan, people ain't sitting around doing different postures. They ain't doing that. In Goloka Vrindavan, they are chanting Hare Krishna, offering food to Krishna, eating nice remnants from Krishna, playing with the cows. They're just having a good old time. So this is, bhakti yoga is called good old time yoga. Kevalanandakanda. Kevalanandakanda means it's only ananda or bliss. That's what I prefer. I do not like austerities. They are against my religious principles. Of course, the austerity of always thinking of Krishna is not an austerity. It's actually pleasurable. Prabhupada said it's, practically speaking, the Krishna conscious activities are a system of recreation. Because Prabhupada was asked, what do you all do for vacation? It's like if you have a regular job. You know, obviously you take a vacation 2 weeks out of the year, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, and you go to the beach and you say, wow. And, you know, we have this saying also with a regular job, what, thank God it's Friday. So, anyway, and Monday is a depressing day too. But in Krishna consciousness, every day it is a weekend. I mean, every day it's vacation. Because you're serving Krishna and you're working hard. Not for lazy or crazy people, it's for people who work hard. So, and all right, next verse, yato, yato, nischalati, manaschal, chanchala, mastiram, tatastato, niyama, niyam, yaitad, atman yeva, visham, niyet, yata, yata, wherever, nischalati becomes very agitated, manaha, the mind, chanchalam, flickering, astiram, unsteady, tata, tata, from there. Niyamya, regulating, etat, this, atmani, in the self, eva, certainly, vasham, control, yet, must bring under. So the translation is, from wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. That is really difficult. Unless one is doing things out of love. like we mentioned many times before, someone who is in material love, he's focused, or she is focused. Just like the story of Romeo and Juliet, or Rapunzel, anyway. We should get into that. They were just very so focused on each other. They didn't have to worry about controlling the mind. The mind automatically gravitated. Of course, that's a very advanced platform in lust in the material world, and it's a very advanced platform in Krishna consciousness. As we've mentioned before, when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, if one tries to think of the illusory energy, the mind automatically goes back to Krishna. Now, the stage that most of us are in right now, when we try to think of Krishna, the mind automatically goes back to the illusory energy. Therefore, it's important for us to do something with this material world that's in accordance with our psychophysical nature, so our mind can always be absorbed in Krishna work. So, for us, this means, this particular verse means, we should think of what we can do for Krishna. Don't ask what Krishna can do for you, but ask what you can do for Krishna. So if we're thinking about, according to our psychophysical nature, we mentioned before about Varnashram, you know, whether one is a Brahmin. Well, for Krishna, I'd like to study. For Krishna, I'd like to talk about Krishna, not just talk. If I'm a Kshatriya, I like to protect people. I like to manage, maybe run for office, God forbid. If I'm a Vaishya, I like to take care of cows and agriculture, engage in commerce and trade, etc. like that. And I'm a Shudra, I like to work with my hands. You know, I do things and create things like artistry, music, things like that. So that's what it means for us. For us, this particular verse means think of your service for Krishna. And that's how you bring back your mind. You can't just bring it back by trying to negate the flickering nature. Because if you try to negate some particular thought, that thought comes back with renewed vigor, more and more ferocity. Just try it. Try something that your mind continually is thinking about, and just like, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about it. Not. You can't do it not. Okay? So therefore, think about what you're doing for Krishna. That's what it means to bring it back under the control of the self. Purport. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady, but a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control them. One who controls the mind, and therefore the senses as well, is called a Gosami or Swami. Let me translate that. Go doesn't mean to go somewhere. Go means the senses. Go can also mean cows too, but in this particular case it means the senses. So go, and the word Swami means, not way down upon the Swami River, it means a controller or master. Just like if someone has a boss sometimes, you may call him Swami, means master, or boss, basically. So Goswami means that you are the master of your senses, you control them. And Swami basically means the same thing, master, in this particular case, master of your senses, which includes the mind. And one who is controlled by the mind is called a Godas. Dasa means servant. Go means senses again. And therefore Prabhupada translates it as a servant, the servant of the senses. We serve the tongue. We serve the nose. We serve the ears. We serve the belly. We serve the genitals. We serve. Yes, we're always servants by nature. You just get to pick who and what you serve. You can't get away from the service attitude. So, right now we are serving something that gives us misery. Asat Indriya Parshanat. Actually, this is a verse spoken by Devahuti to her son Kapila Dev. She said, I'm sick.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Whoops. That was my Google Home. Anyway, I better be careful before I trigger it again. So, spoken by Devahuti to her son Kapila, and she said, I'm sick of the disturbances caused by the senses. Asad Indriya Tarshana. So please guide me. So a Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishi Kesha, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. Very easy. Text 27. Prashanta manasam yenam yoginam sukhamuttamam upaiti shanta rajasam ramabhutam akalamasham. Prashanta, peaceful, fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, manasam, whose mind he certainly, enam this, yoginam, yogi, sukham, happiness, uttamam, the highest, upaiti attains, shanta rajasam, his passion pacified. That's an interesting expression. Shanta means peaceful. Peaceful passion. Brahma Bhutan, liberation by identification with the Absolute. In other words, knowing your spiritual nature. Kalama Sham, freed from all past sinful reactions. The yogi whose mind is fixed on me verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. He is beyond the mode of passion. He realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme, and thus he is freed from all reactions to past deeds. So qualitative means that he has the same qualities as the Supreme Krishna. So like we have all these different qualities and desires, not our demoniac qualities, but our godly qualities. In other words, we like to have fun, Krishna likes to have fun. We like to have friends, Krishna likes to have friends, and some of you like to have romance. Krishna definitely extremely romantic. And so Krishna has all these qualities. That's why we have the qualities. If Krishna, who is the source of everything, didn't have the qualities, we wouldn't have the qualities. Hum sarvasya prabhu. Everything comes from Krishna. The qualities, the material energy, the time factor, the devotees, everything comes from Krishna. So our nature is the same as Krishna. But quantitatively, we are different. He's big, really big, and really powerful, and really full of knowledge, and really full of happiness. And we have a little bit of So, anyway, so that's the yogi. He realizes that, and he goes beyond. Passion means passion, passion fruit. Passion means to acquire something or enjoy something. Either planning to enjoy or acquire something. Because what a yogi is thinking, if I had this, what's so profit of the man if he gets the whole world and loses his eternal soul? That's what he's thinking. Also, he's thinking he can't take it with you. So purport, Brahma Bhuta is the state of being freed from material contamination and situated in the transcendental service of the Lord. Mad bhaktim labhate param. That's from the Gita 18th chapter, text 54. One cannot remain in the quality of Brahman, the Absolute, unless one's mind is fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, Savayamana Krishna Padaravindiyo, Bhagavatam 9th Canto, 4th Chapter, Text 18. That's about Maharaj Ambarish. We read this verse yesterday about him, in yesterday's Bhagavad Gita class. To be always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, or to remain in Krishna consciousness, is to be factually liberated from the mode of passion and all material contamination. Pretty simple stuff. Turn my phone off too. So, next verse. Yunjanevam zadatmanam yogi vigatakam shaha yuksukena brahma samsparsham Atyantam Sukhamashnute. Yunjan, engaging in the yoga practice, evam asana, always. Atmanam, the self. Yogi, one who is in touch with the Supreme Self, Vigata, freed from karma shaha, all material contamination. Sukhena, in transcendental happiness, brahma sangsparsham, being in constant touch with the Supreme. Actually, that word is samsparsham, sparsham means like touch. Sam means complete. Like you have the word sangirtan. Samadhi, same thing. So it means complete touch with Brahma, or spirit. Atyantam, the highest sukham, happiness, ashnute attains. Thus the self-controlled yogi constantly engaged in yoga practice becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Simple. Purport. Self-realization means knowing one's constitutional position in relationship to the Supreme. Simple. You know who you are. Okay. We explained this before today, so we don't need to explain it again. Because you can't know who you are until you know where you came from and who you're part and parcel of, your eternal spirit soul. The individual soul is, actually, Prabhupada says the same thing. The individual soul is part and parcel of the Supreme, and his position is to render transcendental service to the Lord. This transcendental contact with the Supreme is called Brahma Samsparsha. Means complete, absolute contact with the Lord. Not just sparsha, which means you just touch something, but complete touching, complete absorption. Text 29. Sarvabhutastam atmanam sarvabhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatasam adarshanaha. A sarva-bhuta-stam, situated in all beings, atmanam, the super-soul, sarva-all, bhutani, entities, cha also, atmani, in the self, ikshate, darsi, yoga-yukta-atma, one who is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, sarvatra, everywhere, samadarshanaha, see, equally. A true yogi observes me in all beings, and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. So in other words, Krishna is in everyone's heart. Also, we see Krishna in every being, because every being is part and parcel of Krishna, qualitative, equal with Krishna, which we mentioned before. You can actually learn about Krishna just by seeing this material world, how people interact, and projecting that upon the spiritual realm. I mean, because it's not a perfect way of understanding things, but it's a way, because the material realm is a reflection backwards of the spiritual realm. This 15th chapter of the Gita explains that more precisely in the metaphor of the banyan tree that's being reflected on the body of water in which the roots are up and the branches are down. So in other words, we see Krishna everywhere. In other words, we see, if I'm looking at my computer right now or at the screen right now, that's Krishna. Krishna's in every atom. It's Krishna's energy. It's being used for Krishna. So I can't help but get away from the point that Krishna is everything. But in one sense, he's different. That's the Chinjabheda Veda Tapa philosophy. Krishna is everything simultaneously. He's different from everything. Wow. It's like the sun is different from the sunshine. Example Prabhupada gave. A Krishna-conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna, the Supreme, situated in everyone's heart as super-soul, Paramatma. Ishvara sarva-bhutanam hridesha arjuna tishtati. The Lord in his Paramatma feature is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of the Brahman. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a Brahmin, because he's relating with the soul and he's watching what the soul is doing in its stupidity, not as a Brahmin, but when the soul is acting like an idiot, like getting drunk or something like that. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. In other words, Krishna is present in all hearts, but we're only present right here in this body. I'm not aware of what's happening in your mind, only in my mind, and only partially were. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the super soul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and non-believer. This is one reason why we offer respects to everyone. Prabhupada explained, you know, the system of offering obeisances is, of course, respecting devotees. But beyond that, we're respecting the soul, the super soul, and everyone's heart, because everybody's body is meant to be a temple of God. God is there, and you have to make it worthy of God's presence. In the Smriti, this is confirmed as follows: atatvach cha matravach cha atma hi paramo hari. The Lord, being the source of all beings, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father or Mother is also. In other words, her own children. Not all children. Like a mother is not equal to everyone's child, but to her child. And the Supreme Father or Mother is also. But Krishna is the father of everyone. And Krishna's consort, Srimati Radharani, and her expansions, she's the mother of everybody. So consequently, the super soul is always in every living being. Outwardly, also, every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord. As we explained in the seventh chapter, the Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual, superior, and material, or inferior. The living entity, although part of the superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy. The living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in him in one way or the other. And we've explained this before. There's three shaktis that are mentioned here, Tritiya Shakti, Ishute. There's the spiritual energy, material energy, and the marginal energy. That's the living entity. It's another way of saying the living entity. And the marginal energy, that's us, has the ability to choose which one it wants to be in. Simple as that. You can go swimming or you can be out on the land, you know, whatever. You choose. But you're one of the two places. Of course, you can have one foot in the water and another foot on land if you want. But it's kind of an unusual circumstance. So therefore, we're in the Lord's energy and we choose which energy we're in. The yogis sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations, according to the results of fruit of work, that means their karma, in all circumstances, remain the servants of God. Wow. Now, the example Prabhupada gives in this regard is that a citizen in the country can either serve the country voluntarily, or if the citizen breaks the laws, then he goes to jail and he serves the country involuntarily, by force. For example, in Florida, you have all these different expressways, motorways, interstates, whatever. But originally, they were built by chain gangs. What is a chain gang? A chain gang is a group of prisoners, probably not really high security prisoners, but prisoners who the government doesn't want to escape, but they want them to do some practical work. So they chain their legs to each other and to something else, I guess if there's 20 of them chained to each other, nobody's running away. It's going to be kind of hard. And they work hard, and the roads were built by these chain gangs. So you can say they serve the state. But that is not a desirable way to serve the state. It's better to serve the state voluntarily, you know, being an honest citizen, paying your taxes. You may say, what about paying taxes? But when Lord Jesus was asked about this, he said, render unto God what is God's, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. In other words, just be an honest citizen, be a perfect gentleman. Remember that. So remember, everybody is in the Lord's energy. That's right. The yogi sees equally because it sees that all living entities, although in different circumstances, according to the results of food and work, and also remain the servants of God. I'm not explaining that, because they're serving God voluntarily or involuntarily. While in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses. Yes, tongue. Yes, tongue, sir. I will do what you say. Yes, mind. Mind. You are saying I should go here, I should go there. Don't stay and serve in that temple. Go there. Okay, mind. Whatever you say, I am your humble slave and servant. The living entity serves the material. But the mind is one of the senses. Actually, we describe this as sixth sense. Sixth sense, not in terms of psychic phenomena, but in terms of the controlling sense. Or the example we gave before, like the reins on the chariot and the driver is the intelligence. While the spiritual energy serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, the living entity is the servant of God. The vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. Everyone is a servant of God and serving. And this is, again, my most favorite verse in the Gita. 6:30. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. Ya, whoever, mam, me, pashyati, sees sarvatra everywhere, sarvam, everything, cha, and mai, in me, pashyati, sees tasya, for him, aham, I, na, not, pranashyami, am lost, saha, he, cha, also, me, to me, na, nor, pranashyati is lost. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So in other words, he's always in contact with Krishna consciousness. This is the definition of Krishna consciousness in one sense. And this is very much in tune with a particular verse in the Bhagavatam, which is called the one of the nutshell verses. Ritevatam napratieta napratieta chatmani tadvidyad atmano mayam yathabhasha yathatamaha. And which Krishna says that if you see anything without connection to me, know it to be my illusory energy, which is like a reflection that appears in darkness. Sometimes you see apparent reflections in darkness that have absolutely no reality. Reflections have no reality anyway, but reflection in darkness, well, it's even worse. So that is the definition of illusion, right there. The definition of maya is the absence of Krishna. So illusion, maya illusion, means to see things without their connection to Krishna, although everything is connected. Krishna, everything comes from Krishna. Krishna is in every atom. Krishna is giving you intelligence, forgetfulness and knowledge. Krishna is giving you strength. Krishna is giving you everything. Krishna is giving you food, whatever you have. So if you see something that's not connected to Krishna, then you are in maya, buddy. So a person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material knowledge nature, son. But in each and every instance, he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. There's that dualistic understanding that, yes, we do see it's a computer. At the same time, we have the understanding this is Krishna's energy. Krishna gave the intelligence to make it. We should use it in service, etc. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. So, again, we're talking about how by love one can see everything connected to Krishna. So let me give an example of love, love, love. All you need is love. So let me give an example of something that's related to it in terms of material love. Again, you know, boy and girl. So let's say if a boy is madly in love with a girl, and this girl owns a particular type of car. It doesn't have to be a Tesla. But this girl owns a particular car, let's say Volkswagen. So, a Volkswagen Rabbit. That's a small Volkswagen. So, therefore, when he sees her car, he feels her. Or feels that she's with him, you know, whether he thinks of her, meditates on her, even more than normal. Because it's love. And even when he sees another rabbit, we're not talking about a little bunny rabbit, but when he sees another Volkswagen rabbit, his mind automatically thinks of it. That's called a vibhava, technically speaking. So that's how love forces you to see everything, because it's Krishna's. You see shoes that belong to someone, you remember the person, right? If I see a Bhagavatam, I remember Prabhupada. So anything connected to that person, you actually remember them, if you love them. If you don't love them, you want to forget them. So that's the whole point. By seeing everything connected to Krishna, then everything becomes an impetus for remembering Krishna and love of Krishna, if you love Krishna. At this stage of Krishna consciousness beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee. And I mentioned that before, how, you know, when someone's married and they're madly in love, right, what was two before becomes one, in one sense, not absolutely. And of course, not that that consciousness of their one goes on forever in most cases. And for the devotee, and then devotee becomes full and loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. At that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated. But remember, in essence, the living entity can't be annihilated either. But here we're talking about his position, his realization cannot be annihilated, no matter what. Nor is the personality of God ever out of the sight of a devotee. Because everything becomes an impetus for remembering Krishna. Everything. I mean, can you imagine? What is that consciousness? Just like here's glasses. How can you make that an impetus for remembering Krishna? But a pure devotee, that's an impetus. He'll look at the glasses and think of Krishna. I look at the glasses and just think, well, they have to be cleaned. So imagine, we can't understand a pure devotee's consciousness. They don't look at anything and it just reminds them of Krishna. Amazing. To merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. In other words, people want to merge, become one with God. That's like suicide. You can't actually do it, but it's like a desire for suicide. A devotee takes no such risk. It is stated in the Brahma Sanghita in the 5th chapter, text 38. Premanjana chari devakti vilavchanena santaksarayva vriyeshu vilokyanti yang saim shandaram achinchit guna sarupam govindamani purasham tamaham vachami. I worship the primeval Lord, means the original Lord, from who are the all the Lord's kingdom. Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyamashundra, situated within the heart of the devotee. In other words, you're always seeing Krishna. It's not that necessary, you know, just look around and see little flute players all over the place, Govinda. But you see that everything is his property. In this way, you see him everywhere. I mean, it's a fact. Just like when my mother used to have a little bronze shoes of mine as a little baby. She was my first devotee, first disciple. When she sees that, tears come to her eyes like torrents of rain. So anyway, at this stage, since she's seen me, she's seen her little baby. At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does the devotee ever lose sight of the Lord. In the case of a yogi who sees the Lord as paramatma within the heart, the same applies. So, if the yogi is just realizing Paramatma rather than Bhagavan, then the same thing principle applies. Such a yogi turns into a pure devotee and cannot bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. Because Krishna is so beautiful. Okay. Next verse. Sarva bhutas titam yomam vajate ekatvam ashtitaha sarvata vartamano pisi yogi mai vartate. Sarva bhutas titam, situate in everyone's heart, yaha, he who, mam me, vajati, serves in devotional service, ekatvam, in oneness, ashtitaha, situated, sarvata, in all respects, vartamanaha, being situated, api, in spite of, saha, yi, he, yogi, the transcendentalist mayi in me, vartate, remains. Translation, such a yogi who engages in the worshipful service of the Supersoul, knowing that I and the Supersoul are one, remains always in me in all circumstances. So the yogi should know that Bhagavan and Supersoul are the same person, just acting differently in different circumstances. A yogi who is practicing meditation on the Supersoul sees within himself the plenary portion of Krishna as Vishnu. So the word plenary means on the same plane. It's not that Vishnu is any less God than Krishna. He's just an expansion and non-different from Krishna, Advaita Chuta, Nadiva Nantalupamajam, Pavana Purusham, Nadiyopanamcha, the same but unlimited manifestations of Krishna's different personalities. Just like an expert actor may have unlimited roles that he plays, but he's always the same person. So it's Krishna's Vishnu with four hands holding concha, wheel, club, and lotus flower. The yogi should know that Vishnu is not different from Krishna. Krishna in this form of Supersoul is situated in everyone's heart. Furthermore, there is no difference between the innumerable Supersouls present and the innumerable hearts of living entities. In other words, you don't have a different Supersoul than me. My Supersoul is better than your Supersoul. Nor is there a difference between a Krishna-conscious person always engaged in a transcendental loving service of Krishna and a perfect yogi engaged in meditation on the Supersoul. So, they're the same and different simultaneously. In other words, they're meditating on the same person in different moods. So it's not absolutely the same, but there is some variety in there. Just like someone who serves the boss in the office can be said to be the same as someone who serves the boss at home, his family. But there's difference in different moods. You understand? So you say there's no difference, they're serving the same person, but there is difference also. One and different simultaneously. The yogi in Krishna consciousness, even though he may be engaged in various activities while in material existence, remains always situated in Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which means the ocean of nectar of devotional service. 1-187 of Srila Rupa Goswami. Nikhilasvapi avastasu jivan muktasu uchite. So a devotee is liberated even in this life. Let's see how Prabhupada translates it. A devotee of the Lord, always acting in Krishna consciousness, automatically liberated. In the Narada Pancharatra, this is confirmed in this way. Dikkalad yana vachine krishna chitto vidaya cha tanmayo bhavatish brahm jivo brahmani yojayat. By concentrating one's attention on the transcendental form of Krishna, who is all-pervading and beyond time and space, one becomes absorbed in thinking of Krishna and then attains the happy state of transcendental association with him. In other words, Krishna is the most attractive. Like we gave that example a little while ago in class of the man who is very attracted to his girlfriend's eyes, and then he was shown by Sripad Ramanujacharya the eyes of Krishna, and he became so much entranced, it's interesting, entranced, by seeing Krishna's eyes that he no longer became bewildered by his girlfriend's eyes. But then he got married anyway. Krishna consciousness is the highest stage of trance and yoga practice. This very understanding that Krishna is present as Paramatma in everyone's heart makes the yogi faultless. When you see Krishna everywhere, you lose all your focus. Veda, and the Gopal Tapani Upanishad 3.2 confirms this inconceivable potency of the Lord as follows. The Vedas, yeah. Confirm. Eko pi san bahuda yo bhati. Although the Lord is one, he is present in innumerable hearts as many. Similarly in the Smriti Shastra. Smriti means needs to remember Shastra. It is said, Eka evo paro Vishnu sarva jyapi nasang shayaha aishvaryad rupamekam cha. Suryavat bahu deyate. Vishnu is one and yet he is certainly all-pervading. By his inconceivable potency, in spite of his one form, he is present everywhere as the sun appears in many places at once. So he's present everywhere. Let me just talk about this for a second. But he doesn't touch. We could say he's in everyone's heart, but he's never touched with the material energy. He manifests his presence in your heart, but he doesn't touch this matter, not the blood or the muscles, muscles in your heart. He's not touching those things. His presence is manifest in your heart. It's very important to understand that, because he is spirit. Spirit does not touch matter. For touching matter, then Krishna has a specific expansion, and that expansion is called Shambhu. Shambhu, 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 Shivaya, as the prayer goes, as Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva consorts with this material energy, touches this material energy for Krishna. He's a pure devotee. He's absolutely pure devotee. I was listening to a class, and Prabhupada was asked, what are we going to do about this man that they're preaching to who is worshiping Shiva? And when this man heard that Krishna said, one who is my devotee is not my devotee, one who is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee, and then Lord Shiva is the best devotee of Krishna, this person began to worship Lord Shiva more enthusiastically. Prabhupada said, let him continue to worship. Don't try to dissuade him, but let him worship with the right understanding that he is a devotee of Krishna. Could you worship a devotee of Krishna? Even Lord Shiva says that's even better than worshiping Krishna himself. All right, so we will continue tomorrow with text 32, and now we will take some questions. We have quite a few people today. Let me open up our gallery for questions. Wait 1 second, I have to unmute you or allow you to unmute yourselves. Okay, who has a question? Someone must have a question. It's not that you're all...
I can ask a question.
Yes, Mr. Mayapur.
Please accept my humble obeisances. So in the beginning of the reading today, you read the verses. They were very, very exclusively and pointedly and absolutely talking about no sense gratification, complete mental control, absolute obedience. Okay, but then they have the, and specifically you talked about waking up early. But see, then you have this person that you've talked about many times. I think he's one of your disciples, who he was brought up with a, in the old days when there was all sorts of abuses about waking up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock for children. And so now he's traumatized and doesn't want to wake up till 8 o'clock. He just can't, otherwise he'll have a breakdown. So
to understand who that might be. Anyway, so there's extenuating circumstance. I agree with you. There's extenuating circumstances. Obviously, we are extremely soft-hearted and saintly. So yes, there are extenuating circumstances. Sometimes people, because of past experience, physical and things that are going on, then they get special dispensation from the guru. It's like if someone, if like me, let's say if I go to play golf, and I'm really bad at golf, just so, you know, we can have a reasonable chance of, you know, having a good game and not getting laughed out of the golf, I'll get a special handicap. So we give handicaps to different disciples.
Tiger Dave.
It's like in the Catholic Church, you have the Pope gives dispensations. So you don't know about that. But anyway, so we have dispensations. No, anyway, I understand different people's situations, and I try in my empathic, compassionate, loving, what are the words that make me go, ecstatic best, to actually make adjustments for Rask. Oh, anyway, make adjustments. Sorry, I mean, that was a Freudian slip. But anyway, try to make adjustments. So, good point. Thank you very much for asking that question.
Hare Krishna.
Indulgences. Yeah, actually, Gopal correct me, it's indulgences. So, actually, the Catholic Church used to sell indulgences. Yes, I remember that, Gopal. So, we can sell some indulgences. If someone really has trouble doing certain things, we have a price. Right, just contact me later on for my full price list.
All right. Thank you.
If you can't do certain things, and we will send you our PayPal address and everything like that so you can get special indulgences. So that's good. Thank you, Gopal, for reminding me about these indulgences because I guess it's a major source of income. So, all right. Anyway, so who else has a question?
Hey, I have a question.
Who is that? Who is that?
Is Ravi?
Oh, Ravi, it's good to see you. You recovered now, Ravi?
Yeah. I have a question. So about the last verses that you just showed was about Surya, or rather, actually, it was about Krishna being compared to the sun. So my question is, what is Surya's role in all this? Whose side is he on? Because on one hand, we have Krishna, who has sort of the guna or the qualities of the sun, but we also have Karna, who is on the other side of the battlefield, who is in fact actually the son of Surya.
Yeah. All right. Interesting question. For those of you who don't know the Mahabharata too well, Karna is the son of the sun, and Arjuna is the son of Indra. So, Krishna, in the Brahma Samhita, the sun is called the eye of Krishna. And the sun god is sometimes called Surya Narayan. In certain circumstances, not in all circumstances, Krishna actually takes on the position of the sun god. Or he may take on the position of Lord Brahma when there's no one else to fulfill that particular role. And so in those cases, Krishna is the sun god. In other cases, the sun god is a jiva soul who takes on that particular position. So Krishna, whether Krishna was the sun god at that particular time or not, I don't know. But in any case, Karna, being the son of the sun god, didn't necessarily have to have all good qualities because Krishna also had sons who were demoniac, like Bhumasura. So just being the son, let's say hypothetically that Karna was the son of Krishna. I mean, I'm not saying that's a fact, but let's say hypothetically. That doesn't mean anything in terms of Karna's spirituality or lack of spirituality, because Krishna had sons, as we pointed out, who had become absolute demons. So it's not that if you're the son of God, you can actually guarantee that you're going to be God conscious. Another example is Advaitacharya, who is Krishna himself. I mean, he's a Vishnu Tattva expansion of Krishna in the Panchatattva. And he had six sons. Six were devotees, and six were non-devotees. And so he considered those six who were not devotees not to be his sons. In fact, they were his sons. And the six that were devotees were his sons, and they were his sons, and he was pleased with them. So it's not that every time Krishna has a son, they turn out well. So can you imagine, like, a jiva soul having children is no guarantee that they're going to turn out well. I mean, my parents had a son, and there was no guarantee I was going to turn out as a demon. Maybe I did. But anyway, there is no guarantee. So you can't guarantee, even God can't guarantee his son. I mean, they have this saying, and forgive me if Mother Irma was listening, Vaikuntha children. So yes, we should consider that children are born in the movement have been sent by Krishna, I understand, but some of them may decide to become Ravana Shisha, Shisha of Ravana, later on. That's their free will. You know, I have free will. I can become a disciple of Ravana tomorrow if I wanted to. I'm not going to, hopefully. But everybody has free will. You know, I may be walking around here as a sannyasi and just say, well, it's too much. You know, bring on the liquor or whatever. Because I never drank my whole life. So that's not a problem. But so the free will is always there, even if one is the son of Krishna. Theoretically, even if he was the son of Krishna, or the son is a devotee, in any case, even if he wasn't, the son wasn't Krishna in that particular instance. Another point is that the energy of the sun, or the energy of Krishna, comes through the sun, because if there's no sunshine, everything reverts to absolute zero or close to it. If there's no source of heat or energy, just like there's some history, you know, in the past on the Earth planet, there was a big asteroid, or meteor, sorry, to be precise, that hit the Earth planet and sent up a big cloud of dust. And there was basically a global winter for a long time. And the scientists say, what, the dinosaurs, they all died during that time. So we need the sun. So the sun, Krishna's energy comes through the sun. In any case, Karna had free will, like everybody else, and he decided to do what he wanted to do. And there's a whole history of Karna in the Mahabharata that describes his past life and how he had some demoniac tendencies. I'm not going to get into that right now, but if you read the whole Mahabharata, you'll hear more about Karna's past. Okay, good question.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I think, Praneshra, you have a question.
Yes, Guru. My question is, how to train to mind so always remember to Krishna and not to engage in sense gratification?
Oh, good question. How to train the mind?
Yes.
Here, have good sadhana, chant your rounds very clearly, read the Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, eat prasadam, don't eat food cooked by rakshasas. We talked about this before, how even personalities like Grandfather Bhishma and others became contaminated by eating the wrong foods. Follow the process and associate with devotees. It'll work. Also be patient. Constant practice and detachment. Okay?
Yes, Krishna.
All right. And we have Charna, you have a question. You can take yourself off of mute.
Hare Krishna to all. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I just want to ask you, sometimes we feel that Krishna is working through some people. Sometimes we don't see that. We see some gunas, or you said. And how to see, why we have that double thinking? Why we can see Krishna everywhere, anywhere, through all people when something happened, if you understand?
Yeah, that's called, Yeah, that's called dualistic thinking. And the reason we have that is basically because we're not Krishna conscious. It takes time to train the mind to see Krishna everywhere. Because the reason we're not Krishna conscious is we want to have life without Krishna. We want to be the center. We want to be the controller. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. We want to be the enjoyer. You know, we want our independence from Krishna. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard to be really dependent on Krishna, surrender to Krishna. You know, really, it's difficult. It's difficult. You know, we're used to doing things our own way. And it's hard. I mean, it is hard in the beginning because it means simply doing things to please Krishna. And we're thinking, what about me? Me. So that's why it's hard. All right? Just keep practicing and it'll happen. It'll happen one day. I guarantee, probably guarantees it. Okay, I think we should end now. Thank you all for joining us. I think it was a nice evening. And we'll see everybody tomorrow evening, same time, same station. And continue with our Bhagavad Gita study. Exciting Bhagavad Gita study. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.